This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The United Nations voting on anti-Semitism. Malcolm Holein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, joins me. Malcolm, the UN is in action again. No one is really safe when they're meeting. What can you tell me about why now? Why this?
It's true that as long as they're there meeting and talking, very little good can come. But in this case, there's only the second time that a resolution sponsored by Israel was adopted. It had 114 co-sponsors, which is a remarkable number when Israel was initiating it. And credit to Ambassador Erdan of Israel. This resolution really condemns anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial at a time when we see it rising all over the world. In fact, it was adopted by consensus with only one country registering a complaint. And I think if I gave you maybe one choice, John, you would know that Iran, of course, was the objecting party to this. But it was it's an important statement. It doesn't have, I think, legislative implications, but it does have moral persuasion. And hopefully countries will take it seriously, and then the follow-up will be undertaken with some urgency.
And I welcome the fact, Malcolm, because when I read about the founding days of the United Nations, there was great emphasis on a moral stance. This is in the late 1940s. And that's been lost these last years, and the opinion of the UN has fallen all the way down the stairs. It's very difficult to get people to agree that the UN is a necessary transnational body, but it can be, and this is an instance. Now we go to a mystery. The Eastern Mediterranean is the center of development of energy fields, many energy fields shared by many states, but the US, is it participating now, Malcolm?
Well, we had what I think many of the countries in the region, particularly had the 3+1 partners with the United States, meaning Greece, Cyprus, and Israel, who have been working so hard for so long to create the East Med pipeline. And they signed an agreement in Athens in, I think, February 1st, 2020, to great fanfare. And this is a $6 billion project that would link subsea pipelines from the three countries, would get the natural gas to Europe, as broad economic implications, but also political and other messages that the deal which was signed. They did not yet arrange the financing, though the project was supposed to be finished by 2025. Now the United States has indicated in a non-paper that they no longer will support this on two grounds. One is that it's fossil fuel, and they have committed not to encourage any other fossil fuel. They do still support the electric grid between the three countries that would produce electricity. But economically and for many other reasons, this was a very critical deal and have been a point of contention with Turkey in recent years. And, you know, Erdogan said that they should actually be party to it. But even beyond that, they did drilling, if you remember, off the coast of Cyprus, and very provocative actions that were taken. So, they raised the issues of the economic viability, the environmental issues, and other things with the three countries. But they were, frankly, taken by surprise. We had a call with the ambassadors, U.S. ambassadors to those countries yesterday, by chance, not by intent. So President Erdogan, of course, took an opportunity to say that they could send the gas through Turkey. And he cited the fact that he spoke to Prime Minister Bennett, to President Herzog, so he's in proven relations, therefore he should be part of it. The opponents claimed that this could be obsolete before it's finished, but the feasibility studies were well documented, and maybe that there will be some sort of an alternative. But for right now, the fear and the concern that many people have is it's not the decision, but the message that it sent. And it was not sent with clarity so that others now look at it and will say that this is, again, America abandoning its friends, even though the United States may have very good reasons for it, considerations. The problem is the way that it's presented and how now it will be interpreted.
Malcolm Raisi, the provocateur, president of Iran, visiting Vladimir Putin, visiting Saudi Arabia. To what end, Malcolm?
So he is going to Russia. He supposedly is trying to resurrect a 20-year deal between the two countries. But the Russian media didn't disclose neither where the meeting will take place nor the issues they would discuss. Obviously, Russia is still trying to promote a nuclear agreement. There's a lot of concern that the Western parties will give in on, especially on the sanctions regime, which, as Prime Minister Bennett said, would be a bonus to the terror on steroids, I think was the term he used. But a lot of concern that if they get, again, money or relief and pressure from some of the sanctions, that we will see them bust out completely in their nuclear and other programs. Even if it's for an exchange that they not go increase to beyond to the 90% enrichment or even the stockpile, those are things they can make up quickly. The progress they're making on their ballistic missiles, on the weapons programs, and on their nuclear technology is not reversible. So he is going there. Russia wants to play a key role, and with the talks, Russia has a big stake in seeing that the talks actually succeed. He's also, Saudi officials are also visiting in Saudi Arabia, part of their efforts to revive contacts that we've seen in other regards with other meetings with the UAE, et cetera. But the tensions obviously between the two countries remains very strong from the time Saudis executed the Shiite cleric al-Nimr and other things. So they said that Tehran is ready to open its embassy, but depends on the practical steps that Saudi Arabia will take. All of this is attributed by some to the fact that the Western stance, and the United States in particular, is weak, and that they don't want to be left hanging out there alone. There are obviously areas of tension, and one that came to the forefront this week had to do with the attacks on the Houthis, which I will talk about.
Malcolm, the Houthis, the rebel group that's associated with Tehran, have launched attacks against the UAE itself. Why, and what does this mean about the Houthis and their status?
So this is an escalation that is of great concern, with the firing onto the UAE by with drones, ballistic missiles, and others, projectiles, some of which hit a fuel depot and near the airport. This is an escalation that is of great concern. Israel offered its support to the UAE. The Biden administration now, which somehow mysteriously removed the designation of the Houthis as a terrorist group, now is looking at designating them in light of these attacks that they've been engaged in. As you know, this is the war in Yemen. They now have drones and rockets that can go the 930 miles. So from North Yemen, you can hit all of the UAE, but also can hit targets in Israel. So this is a really great concern to see these attacks and the increasing capacity, which is also reflected in the increased ability of Iran in the drones. And the head of the Fifth Fleet took notice of all of this and spoke about the increasing danger and what the Fifth Fleet is doing to increase the capacity to defend against it using ramped up maritime drones and unmanned surface missiles. So this is an escalation. We have to see how it will play out. There were strikes back by the UAE-led and Saudi-led forces against the Houthis inside Yemen that were successful.
We go to good news, Malcolm. The Arrow 3 test by U.S. and Israel, joint maneuvers between U.S. and Israel, and the decision by the Israeli cabinet to purchase German submarines. What is the Arrow 3, Malcolm? We have a minute.
Yeah, the Arrow 3 is a joint U.S.-Israel next step in that it is a missiles that defense system that goes on top of the Iron Dome and on top of Iron Sling. This is the longer range, even to the point they believe they can take down satellites, hostile satellites. It was successfully tested in Israel this past week with the joint American and Israeli representatives there. The German subs are three submarines that Israel is going to buy, the cost of about $3.5 billion to be delivered in the next 9 years. These are diesel electric. But also we saw that the U.S. Israel Air Force did joint aerial drill over the Negev with very special exercises that were clearly intended to counter Iran, an attack by Iran. This is, as they said, Israeli air teams and the American air team flew shoulder to shoulder in simulated response to aerial threats. And it was called Operation Desert Falcon, something, again, that you don't read all the good news about the joint cooperation. But this is a very significant message to the Iranians.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.